All right, everybody, welcome to a Wednesday morning edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast, your daily Saints podcast destination. Andrew, as always on Wednesday, we are sponsored by SeatGeek. Guys, they have the best ticket purchasing app available. They scan all the entire secondary market for sports events, shows, concerts, you name it. The app, green light means it's a good deal. Yellow light means it's an okay deal. Red light means it's a crappy deal. Stay away. It's the best seat purchasing app there is. Use the code ACAA today. Get $20 off your first purchase. That's two beers. It's a hot dog. It's a hat. It's a half of a t-shirt at a concert. Do it now. SeatGeek. Life's an event. They have the tickets. All right, Andrew. Today, we had to blow out all the topics because news broke with the Saints national Saints beat reporter, a.k.a. Diana Russini, tweeted out that the Saints and Michael Thomas are talking and that they expect to have a deal done before camp starts. And they are more than willing to make him the highest paid receiver in NFL history. So nothing's done, but when Diana Russini says it, it comes straight from Sean Payton. Like, let's be real about what this is. So this is news.
I'm a little surprised. Are you?
I'm a little bit surprised in a sense of the Saints usually don't do deals early unless it's on their terms, right? Mickey Loomis, if you don't do the deal on his terms, he doesn't go early.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you look at Brees and how things have shook out with him, and you look at the Jimmy Graham situation. I mean, those are the guys I think you have to compare Thomas to, because it's not like – this is not like your run-of-the-mill token deal with, you know, Zach Strief. I mean, it, you know, this is –
no, yeah, this is 5 years. This is 5 years, $100 million,
yeah,
65, $70 million,
yeah, guaranteed. Yeah,
set guaranteed. This yeah. is this
mega.
The thing is with the wide receivers that's interesting is they're all kind of Julio Jones and Michael Thomas. They're all kind of waiting to see who goes first, and then the other guys will be like, "Well, that guy got X, so I want Y."
See, the thing about Michael Thomas, and this is the reason I believe the Saints are willing to do this, is it's not just talent with him. I mean, I think talent obviously is important. If you're going to get a contract with this, you have to be a world beater. But yeah. But I think the reason the Saints are so comfortable with this and guaranteeing that much money over 5 years, because, you know, knowing that he's basically going to see the life of that contract, it's his work ethic. Yeah. And they know he's going to keep working, and they know he's going to keep refining his game. And so, you know, he's very much a first guy in, last guy out kind of worker. And I think, you know, the hand yoga, all that stuff, it speaks for itself. And I think the Saints feel like that's a good investment to make. So I get it, but it's just, I mean, again, like, you look at Cam Jordan, he just got a deal and it was substantially less than Khalil Mack, and Breeze got a deal.
Michael Thomas ain't going to take no discount.
Well, he's not, but I'm just surprised, knowing what we know about Loomis and knowing what we know about all the stars on this team. I'm not surprised that it would get done. I'm surprised that it would be with such little fanfare and scrutiny discord.
I mean, that's true, because look, Jimmy Graham, that was a knockdown, drag out fight, and even after he signed the deal, like, it wasn't, like, it was so bad.
Yeah, it was
like,
so it was, bad they couldn't repair the relationship.
They couldn't repair it. I mean, so it is surprising. I mean, we'll have to see the numbers. I will be absolutely stunned if Michael Thomas does not get the biggest receiver contract in NFL history. I won't be surprised if he doesn't get the most guaranteed, because I think Beckham and those guys will be like a tier above, but it'll be really close. But I'll be stunned if people are like, "Wow, that's a really good deal for the Saints." Like, it, I mean, it'll be a good deal in a sense of, if he keeps doing what he's been doing for 3 years, he's worth it. So whatever. But it ain't going to be Cam Jordan where you're like, "Man, that's a really good deal for the Saints. They gave him $40 million now, so they possibly wouldn't have to give him $100 million guaranteed later." Like, Yeah. Cam Jordan was 2 years away from free agency. Michael Thomas is a year. And the thing is with Michael Thomas, the thing that I think you identified with him the first time you have been, I remember you called me from the Greenbrier after like his first practice, and you were like, he's the best receiver I've ever seen the Saints have. Like, he's amazing. And the thing about him is, though, Andrew, he wants everything. And what I mean that in a really selfish, but it's a good way. He wants the catches record. He wants the yard record. He wants the touchdown. He wants to be a star. He also wants the biggest contract. He wants a Super Bowl ring. Like, he's a greedy son of a bitch, but it's in a good way. And I think for him, the record contract is really important. Where Cam Jordan was like, it's fine. I'm going to make 50 something extra million dollars that I didn't have. I want to be a Saint. The money, yeah, it's important to me, but I don't have to be like being the highest paid guy and getting the record deal. For Cam Jordan, it wasn't important to him. Michael Thomas, it's really fucking important.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you nailed it. And so, but listen, I think at the end of the day, the Saints can't afford to lose this guy. And I was on a radio show today with Sean Fox with 97.7.
Were you on the beach while you did it?
I did. I was, yes. But, you know, the thing that I mentioned about Michael Thomas is, you know, his life is going to continue past the Drew Brees era, right? So his time with the Saints will hopefully go past Brees. And so, you know, as critical as he is to an aging Brees, you know, for Brees to have success, I think he's equally important to the successor, the heir to the throne. Because when you look at what it means to succeed Drew Brees and have to pick up after him, that's an impossible situation. Now, we think that's Teddy Bridgewater. We assume it's going to be him at this point, but yeah, you know, may not be. We'll see. We'll see who the next guy is for Brees. But whoever it is, you've got to be able to support that guy and give him assets, because the expectations are so sky high. I mean, they're going to be unfair. Any quarterback that succeeds Drew Brees, he's not going to be able to live up to the legacy and the, you know, just the star power that Brees had. But if he stands a chance, I mean, you've got to start by giving him Michael Thomas. And so I just think the Saints, they have to look at this, and I think they are looking at this as, hey, listen, Michael Thomas gives Brees his best chance to win a Super Bowl on the way out, but we need him around for the next guy, because
you're absolutely 100% right. The question though becomes, is the Saints, they solve the problem of getting out of the 7-9 death spiral, right? With to a certain extent, the 2016 draft, the 2017 draft, and the 2018 draft, even though it was just Davenport, like that got them out of the 7-9 sadness loop. But now, I think almost an underrated thing that's very, very difficult is the Saints have all these dudes that got to get paid. And I don't care what you say about Loomis Mack, they're not going to be able to pay them all. And some of them are going to have to walk out the door. Now, it's not going to be Thomas. It's probably not going to be Kamara. And it's probably, you know, but then it's, you got to pay Lattimore. You got to pay Ramczyk. What about Marcus Williams? What about Rankins? These decisions become very, very difficult, and asking guys to take less, like, that ain't gonna fly. Like, I think most of them are gonna be like Michael Thomas. They're gonna want their money, you know?
Yeah, well, you have to pick your poison, and the Saints are gonna have some hard decisions because they've drafted so well the last few years.
Do you think Michael Thomas is worthy of being the highest paid receiver in football, if that does become the case?
I mean, the thing is, like, Will Lutz was the highest paid kicker in football for about 2 weeks, and Jairus Byrd was the highest paid safety in NFL history for about 7 minutes, and Jarry Evans was the highest paid guard until he wasn't. So I first of all, like, I just feel like that's such a crock, because it's timing. Like, Michael Thomas is going to be the highest paid receiver until Julio Jones's new deal hits, right? So I just think it's one of those things where I don't think you can look at it that way, because the cap is always going up, and whoever is the next big time receiver to be due a contract, that's always going to be the richest deal for that position, because the cap keeps going up. So that's not really – you can't look at it that way as – is Michael Thomas really the best receiver in the NFL? Is he a top five receiver in the NFL? Absolutely. Does he deserve to be the highest paid receiver right now because of how good he is? Yes. And Julio Jones will top him, and some other guy will come along and top him next year, and that's okay. But he deserves to be in that category. Yes.
The one of the final things I want to talk about, then we'll let you get back to drinking, night drinking on the beach. I think we need to stop talking about contracts and actual dollar values in a sense of we don't – as fans, we don't really give a shit whether it's $25 or $30 million or whatever. What we do care about as fans is what percentage of the cap is it? You know, like, is Michael Thomas – is he 9% of the cap? And how does that compare to Julio Jones and other receivers? I think that, to me, is more interesting – of like, hey, you're paying your quarterback X amount of the cap and nobody else is coming close. Are you paying Michael Thomas 13% of your cap and receivers? Is it
what's year that? To year. Well, that also varies year to year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The funny thing about Michael Thomas is he's about to go from underrated to being overrated just because based on salary. But I will say this. I'm super excited that the Saints are going to pay these people. And look, you know, we've said it before, and we said it about the Pelicans and earlier this week and all this. You know, we are really lucky that Tom Benson got a bad rap. The Saints have never really let a free agent or a player that they really valued leave and walk out the door, that they really, really didn't want to keep. They've got guys that they regret, like Malcolm Jenkins. But it wasn't – they let Malcolm Jenkins leave. It wasn't over money, right? It wasn't like Malcolm Jenkins was like, I want 10, and the Saints are like, we're only going to give you 6. Like,
Carl Nix is kind of the one guy I would put in that category.
Yeah. He's the one – I would agree. He's the one, and we forget about him because his career went so back, so sideways and ended badly in Tampa because he got – what did he get? The Mercer or the –
The MRSA,
yeah, and he played for them a little, I think, but not much. He's the, like you say, he's the only one. But every other guy, they pay, and they're gonna pay Michael Thomas. They're gonna have a press conference. It's gonna be great. Prediction, and then you can get out of here. Let's assume Michael Thomas gets paid, and he's the highest receiver. Who is the next guy that the Saints will back up the money truck for?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think it's got to be Kamara. You know, I think Kamara's – I think he's a superstar in the league. And, I think the big question is how is he going to take care of his body? Because I know right now it's easy to say, you know, hey, he's had two great years. And, you know, there's this thought that guys like that are going to last forever. But is he going to have two healthy years in the league, at which point, you know, he's due a massive contract? So – you know, I think the obvious answers are him and Lattimore, you know, and so then it's just the question of which player do you think is more valuable to the team?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the next guy that's going to get the mega, mega money is going to be Ramchek, because he looks to me like a guy that will be like, hey, you're giving me a massive deal. I don't have to do everything I want. So it'll be sort of friendly to the Saints. So he'll be the next one that'll get his massive, massive deal. That's my.
Ramchek's a guy that'll. I think Ramchek could be like Streif, and that he'll make great money, but it's not going to be a break the bank type of guy. The one guy on this team that I think, you know, so going back to Kamara real quick, I think Lattimore is going to ask for top flight corner money, and corners make enormous money. So I mean, that's going to be tough to afford, but I also think it makes the numbers pretty obvious, you know, just in terms of the negotiation. I think Kamara makes me nervous because I just feel like that his value in terms of what he should be paid and his value just to the game plan and what he does for the offense is measured far beyond statistics. And if you're going to go strictly based on production on the field, he's not rushing for 1,000 yards, 1,200 yards. I mean, his rushing totals aren't Le'Veon Bell numbers. They're not Ezekiel Elliott numbers. So I think the Saints could lowball him because running backs already, I mean, we saw this with Ingram in the offseason. Like they don't get paid a ton. And I could see an Ingram-like situation where the Saints are like, eh, we, you know, we'll pay you whatever. But if he hits the free agent market, Kamara is a guy that someone will spend $12 million a year on. I firmly believe it.
I think it'll be higher.
Like his value is way more than his statistics, and I think that makes his contract negotiations really difficult.
Yeah, because you know what a team will say, a smart team, and you know, Kamara's got two more years to go. You don't know where New England's going to be. You don't know necessarily where Kansas City will be because right that Kareem Hunt is out the door. Tariq Hill is. May never play for them again. He's got a bunch of stuff. You know, I could see a team like Kansas City, a smart offensive coach, being like, oh, the Saints are lowballing Kamara? Give him 4 years, $60 million. I will make him the centerpiece of my offense. A smart coach like Andy Reid or McVay, you know, Gurley's got knee issues. I could see a smart offensive coach being like, "Yeah, pay him. He's gonna be the center of our offense. It's gonna be awesome. It's not about stats. We'll make it work." So I think you're right. Kamara is gonna be the most challenging of all the Saints' young talent to pay because it's different. It's not about stats. It's not going to be about is he slotted at running back. It's a complicated thing. So anyway, guys, this episode is free. You should sign up every day for $7 a month, and you get extra podcasts out the wazoo. You get a free koozie for signing up. It's amazing. We got some great stuff planned for the fall, and we got some awesome swag that we may be sending you. And if we get to $1,000 a month, patrons, me and Andrew will do a show every Friday during the football season where we drink, make fun of stuff, and give you horrible, horrible gambling advice. So get us to $1,000 a month and you get that. So everybody, we will see you tomorrow.